Are you worried that the dream that you have or the thing that you want to happen may not actually happen? Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Kenneth Ott. I mentioned last time that we're in a move. This is probably the last Devo that I'm going to be doing in this current studio space. And so it's a little more echoey than normal. Hopefully that doesn't bother you. But I had something that I really, really wanted to share with you. And it's a little bit different than what I normally do. What I'm going to do is, I'll tell you what, the context of this. There are some challenging circumstances I'm going through in certain places, right? There are some really great things and there's some really big challenges. And so I went back to the promises of God that I believe He has for what I'm pursuing. And the reason I want to share this today is because maybe you're having similar problems. Maybe you're having the promises and the missions and the desires of your heart and the things that you want. Maybe maybe the circumstances that you're in are not in line with that. Maybe they're being challenged. Maybe they're making you doubt. Maybe they're making you discouraged. I found that throughout my faith in business and life journey, there are mountains and there are valleys. And sometimes when you know you're supposed to be going somewhere and you can feel it and you want it, when the path that gets you there is not always a straight line, is never a straight line. Sometimes there are things that could happen that could make you doubt and worry that the thing that you want is not going to actually happen. So I wanted to read a passage. It's one little verse from Titus. And then I want to read a devo from a devotional that I have that I thought was perfect for this particular situation. It really spoke to me. Hopefully it speaks to you on your journey. It's Titus 1:2 and says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Now, the important part of this is God, who cannot lie, promised this hope. So I'm going to read to you a little devotion that I have from something called Streams in the Desert. And I've had it for a long time. It's a really great one. So it says this: "Faith is not conjuring up, through an act of your will, a sense of certainty that something is going to happen. No, it is recognizing God's promise as an actual fact, believing it is true, rejoicing in the knowledge of that truth, and then simply resting because God said it. Faith turns a promise into a prophecy. A promise is contingent upon our cooperation. But when we exercise genuine faith in it, it becomes a prophecy. Then we can move ahead with certainty that it will come to pass because God does not lie." When I read that this morning, that really spoke to me, and I thought I would share it with you because, you know, I've had over the years all sorts of ups and all sorts of downs, and generally things have trended in the right direction. And I have great ambitions. I have great desires. And, you know, when you run organizations like I do, and I'm guessing that you either want to or already do, when you run organizations, there are going to be really challenging circumstances at times that you're going to have to stomach yourself and still continue with the mission, still continue with the vision. And so that can be difficult. And so this spoke to me today because sometimes I doubt, sometimes I wonder, I find myself worrying that the thing that I feel like God told me may not happen, which this speaks directly to. Because if the thing that God told me, if He actually told it to me, if it's a promise, then there's nothing to worry about. There's no anxiety attached to the temporary situations and circumstances and things that may happen along the way, because we know that He cannot lie And so maybe for you, that might be a desire, that might be a life desire, a missional desire, a business desire. For me, I want to grow my businesses. I want to grow my wealth and income and influence and help to impact people and help to impact my family for the positive. And I care very, very deeply about that. I would give my life for that. I've given my life to that. So when that gets challenged, when I feel like that may not be happening, or better, more accurately than that, when circumstances come up that aren't in line with that, sometimes I find myself worrying about, will that happen? Right? When I make decisions because God showed me that it's the right decision, because I feel like it's the right decision, because I know it's the right decision. I've talked to people and I've gained wisdom and I've prayed about it. When that all has happened and then something comes up and I question it, I'm worried that I made the wrong decision. Why is that happening? I ask myself that. Maybe that's happening with you. You know, I'm reminded that there's a spiritual battle happening all the time. And my dad growing up would always tell me that, like, the sign that you're on the right path is that there are challenges around you. Because look, if you're, and this just makes sense, right? There's like good versus evil. There's God versus the devil, right? It's basics, right? If you're on the path, the right path, doing the mission that God wants you to do, doing good things, enjoying good things, gaining resources, influence, all that kind of stuff. If you are on that path, then the enemy is going to attack you. If the enemy is not attacking you, maybe you're not on that path. Right? And so it just makes common sense. So I'm reminded that there's a spiritual battle and the enemy first attacks our beliefs. And then the things that we believe are true are how we operate. So I've got a few takeaways based on this verse in this journal that I hope is helpful for you. I think this is helpful for anyone who has ambition, because there's going to be ups and downs in that ambition. There's going to be things that challenge that ambition. And you're going to need to rely on a promise. So I'll go ahead and start here. So the first thing is, it's interesting here in this devotional that it starts with what faith is not. So it's interesting how faith, and this is backed up in scripture, but faith is not willpower, right? It's not the idea of conjuring something up inside of you, you know, where you're just saying, you're saying words that you don't believe. You're saying words that you don't believe. Now, I've talked before about how words are powerful, and when you say them, eventually, if you back them up with action, they become ingrained inside of you. So there is something to that, but it's not this idea of willpower, because that has this connotation of like high effort. Something that is all willpower. Willpower is like stage one of a rocket, right? It gets you off the ground, but it can't sustain you as you go into orbit. So willpower is really great for short periods of time. This has to do with fitness. This has to do with nutrition. This has to do with faith, business, whatever you're doing, right? Willpower is great for short periods of time, but it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of focus, and it's not something that's sustainable. So if you want to live a life of faith, faith in what God's telling you, faith in what you're doing, your mission along this route, whatever you're leading, it can't be based on willpower. And I think that's the first takeaway, and that's fascinating to me. The second thing, so what is faith, right? And I think it's fascinating how it's described here. It is recognizing God's promise as an actual fact, believing it is true, rejoicing in the knowledge of that truth, and then simply resting because of it. If God cannot lie, then the only way to have faith is to base it on something he's said. All right, so faith is based on a promise, which, if he can't lie, is then a fact. It's a truth, which you must believe, right? So for it to work, you must believe the notion that God cannot lie. First, you have to believe in God, that there is a God. Second, you have to believe that he cannot lie. We're told that in the Bible. So then that's faith. So now the next question you would ask yourself, well, then what is the promise? Like, what is the promise that you actually are relying on? How do you know it's something that he's promised? It's interesting. In my life, when I've gotten a promise from God, there's a few ways to think about God's promises. I'll start there. First, the Bible. We've talked about the whole concept of this podcast, and it's been a theme in my life. I found so much success in my life, in business, in personal life, in all sorts of areas, simply by discovering the principles of success that are in that God weaved into the universe. They're woven into the universe, these principles of success. And when you realize that they are principles, right? For example, gravity is a principle. It's going to always be there on this planet. That is a promise of God. You know, when you jump out, you know, the first floor of a building, you're gonna hit the ground. Like, that is a promise. And there's all sorts of principles. I use that as like a silly example, but like, there's all sorts of principles in the Bible that are promises of God. And you can either work with them or work against them. So that's one area of promises. Then when it comes to you, for me, inside of my life, I've always had great desires. And I believe that God gives you desires to lead you on the path for what he wants you to do. Now, God, desires can go positive or negative. There's two sides of those things, but he leads you on that path. He leads you through those, like, on your mission by desires. That's the design. And we see that throughout the Bible. We see desires. I'm reminded of Isaiah. Isaiah had all these desires and beliefs about himself that sometime I'll do a devo on him that are really fascinating, because it almost sounds like he's like got a giant ego the way he talks about himself. But God put desires in his heart, and he fulfilled a mission based on those desires. And so what is the promise for you? So for me, it's always started with a desire. And it could be an earthly desire, like a yearning to do something, a yearning to be something, right? And then that's like the beginning of it. Then I believe you have to seek it. You have to look for it. You can't squash that. That's why for kids, I think back to my kids, like, I think as a father, as a parent, like, one of the key roles is helping your kids identify their talents, which are their gifts, their God-given gifts, their desires, aligning those things, helping to foster them, helping to guide them and mentor them so that they develop in a good way, right? Versus being a giant negative to them, because those gifts are powerful and power can go either way. These desires and gifts have to be nurtured. They have to be. And so for you, you must seek them. You must understand them. Like, I wouldn't squash your desires. I think some of the biggest mistakes I made early on in my life was squashing certain desires, because I thought, oh, it wasn't in line with like the identity or the brand or the way that I was operating, or it was so opposite what other, you know, what people would see it as so odd that I do this and this, that I just kind of squashed the desires. And then I realized that those desires were meant to be fostered and to be seeked out. What is the purpose of them? And turns out that's how you become unique, right? And so seeking and developing those desires is critical, I believe, for finding the promise, because you want to find your mission and your calling. Once you find your mission and your calling, I believe that is your promise. That is my promise. It's fascinating and there's other devos where I talk about how to do this, because I don't think it's just like wanting it. It's clearly more than that. It's clearly in a lot of effort to seek it out. Like, you need to really want it. Then you need to do things like pray and fast and read, you know, and seek wisdom. And I'm not even talking about biblical reading. I'm talking about like all the effort that would be required. Imagine you were going to really want to be the best basketball player in the world. You would need to do a whole lot of stuff, right? You wouldn't just want it. You'd have to work for it finding your mission and your calling is very similar. Once you do that, I've experienced fascinating things where God has tapped me on the shoulder or done something really miraculous that gives me the indication that this is the right thing. Right? This thing is the thing I'm supposed to be going after. I was telling you about a little an opportunity. And I had alluded to it, and now it's done. And I won't go into the full details right now, but essentially, I just purchased a new building, a new office building, and it is a big step up. There are a lot of great things that you're going to see, hopefully, from the home base of this new resource that we have that we're going to use to create a lot of abundance, a lot of wealth in our businesses, and a lot of impact on people, and really do it in a God-honoring way. So that's really interesting. But the pathway to getting here was fascinating. First of all, I hadn't even thought about it because, you know, when you're running organizations, like, you're not necessarily thinking about these other things. Buying a building and doing and real estate development, which I've done some of, is a totally different job. Like, it's a completely different thing. It's a distraction. And so I wasn't even thinking about it, but an opportunity came up. And I thought it was the perfect building, right? It was easy. It was about the same amount of rent as our current building. And I would just purchase it and we would move into it and we'd own something for about the same amount. It was easy and it was not too far away, all that kind of stuff. It needed a little bit of work and that kind of thing. It had this building, this particular one, this first one, had been on the market for about 6 months. And so we put an offer in and we're like, this is definitely going to be accepted because it's been sitting here for 6 months. And it's a very high value location right in downtown Franklin, which is this little beautiful place that we live. Anyway, we put the offer in and then I'm praying about it. I'm saying, hey, if this is not right, if it's not right, close the door. And that's how I usually pray. But if it is right, and I'm thinking in my head, of course it's right. It's so perfect. It's obvious. It's clear. That kind of thing. So I'm saying the words, if it's not right, but I know in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this has to be right because I think I know best. And so it turns out I get a text and I'm expecting this text to be, we got the building. And it was, whoa, they actually accepted a different offer. And I'm like, a different offer? It's been sitting on the market for 6 months. How is it possible that they accepted another offer? Well, yeah, we actually got two offers on the same day, yours and another one. How is that possible? I'm like, should I play the lottery? Like, over the course of 6 months, get no offers. They get two on the same day? Another one comes in the same time I put one in? And you accept that one? And I was discouraged because now I had my heart set on this and I had believed that it's the right thing. And so I'm discouraged about it. And I was saying, if this is not right, God close the door, but he did, but I thought it was right. So fast forward, that same day, another building goes on the market right down the street from us. It's actually a building that I drive past every single day. It's a beautiful building. It's one that I said, if that was ever for sale, I would love to buy that thing. It's perfect. Goes on the market. I'm like, oh, maybe this is the better thing, but it was too high of a price to rationalize. Just didn't feel right. I'll say it that way. Like, just didn't feel right. And so, we go look at it anyway. And after a few conversations, it turns out that they're kind of flexible on the price. And so we did some math. We said, okay, we'd be comfortable with this. I prayed about it. I said, that would be the amount that I think would be comfortable with, but they're never going to accept that because, this is a high value area. People get whatever they want around here for their real estate. And they probably don't need it. And there's not a big loan on it. All these kind of things. Like, I was just sort of rationalizing, like, it's unlikely that that's going to happen, but you know what? This is what we're comfortable with. And I had gotten to the point where I was so kind of down about the other one. I was like, look, this is most likely not going to happen, but if it happens, I want to make sure that it's God's will. Like, it is the right thing because I don't want to get into this other building and put strain that's not necessary and a distraction. I don't want it to be a distraction. I want it to be an asset that accelerates things. And so, by the way, I didn't mention, this is a much better building. It's in a much better location. It's on Fifth Avenue. It's a beautiful place. Right in the center of town, lots of traffic past it. It's a historic, property. Beautiful, fully renovated, like from top to bottom, wired up for all the things that we're going to do. It is just perfect for the next step. It's bigger, all these different things, right? Better location, all that kind of stuff. And so it's better in every way. So I'm like, God, maybe this is the better thing. And I said that almost sarcastically. I said it to my real estate agent. I was like, maybe this is the better thing that God has for us. And in my head, I didn't really believe it because it was unlikely, in my opinion, that they would actually come down to a price. But I prayed about a price. I put that price in. And it turned out they said, maybe we can do that. And I was like, wow, that's surprising. Anyway, long story short, it ended up going away. They ended up not being willing to do the price that we had proposed. And I was discouraged again. But I did feel like, look, if this is meant to be, I want it to be clear. Like if it's meant to be, it'll be. And if God wants this to be, it'll be. Because I don't want to be forcing this thing. Then it's on my shoulders. I want it to be on God's shoulders. I don't want it to be on my shoulders. And I think as a leader, that's an important thing. When you force things, you're responsible for things. When you take guidance from someone who is guiding you, you can operate in a much freer way. I'm bringing this all home. So anyway, all that to say is I'm sitting here in my current studio space while this, you know, after they said they're you know, no thanks. You know, if you want to buy this building, it's going to have to be this amount. And we said, we're going to walk away. That's our final offer. After that happened, I'm sitting here. I raise my hand up to that direction of that building. And I don't do these kind of things all the time. I just kind of like raised up my hand. I was like, I finished a little task and I sat back and I raised my hand. And I said, man, God, give us this building, please. Immediately, ding, my phone went off. And again, this kind of stuff doesn't always happen. I wasn't even expecting that. My phone went off immediately. And I said to myself, man, wouldn't that be funny and fascinating if that was some sort of update on this building? I didn't think that that was the case. I look at my phone and I see a message that says, hey, they're wanting to know if we'd be willing to do the deal at the price that we had offered. And I was like, wow. So I still didn't, you know, want to force it. And so we ended up operating through the entire process. There were a lot of loops and potential downsides and all these kind of things. And I kept saying, God, this is yours. Clearly, you're guiding this. So we're going to move forward. I'm going to walk forward on your guidance. And if you think that this is not right, just close, slam the door on it. And everything worked out. And you know what's fascinating about this little story? And I tell this story to you because I want you, there are probably stories like this in your lives and life. And I think for me, I found that looking for these things, ways that you can relieve the pressure on yourself and give it to God are really powerful because then you can operate in freedom. So now, as we're moving forward, I don't have to worry about this thing. I don't have to worry about if it's the wrong decision. I don't have to worry about if it's anything about it. I know that it was led in a divine way. And I think that is what I mean when you have a promise from God. When God speaks in your life or organizes or orchestrates a situation and you're looking for that, that's something you can rely on. And through ups and downs, you can rely on that promise. And so, the last thing I want to take away from this is what is our role? What is our role in a promise, right? And so it's interesting how it says, promise is contingent upon our cooperation. That is the key. Not worrying, not doubting that the promise wouldn't happen, but our cooperation. A promise from God, a God that cannot lie. The only way that goes, that can't happen is if we don't cooperate. A better word for promise is covenant. We see that in the Bible, God's covenant with Abraham, et cetera, et cetera. I think sometimes we think covenant is one-sided. Covenant is an agreement. It has two sides. So if you've been told this thing is the right thing, but you don't act in cooperation with that, then how can it be the right thing? How can it actually come to pass? So our part is action, right? And what's interesting is worry and doubt and discouragement, the things that happen. So like when you're moving in action, right? When you're moving towards something and something happens that makes you wonder, what if this thing that God, I thought God said isn't the case? Like what if this building is not the actual right thing? What if I made a mistake? And you begin to worry because of a situation. If that starts to happen, what's fascinating is it stops you, it distracts you, and it keeps you from cooperating and doing the actions that it would take to make that not happen, right? So in your business, if revenue goes down, you begin to worry about it, and you're distracted and anxious about it, it's actually keeping you from the things that would actually be what you could do to help fix that problem. Does that make sense? Right? So when I'm worrying, I can't do my part because I'm preoccupied. And promises require cooperation. This is why, quote, promises don't happen because we don't cooperate. That's happened in my life. In my life, there have been periods of time in the past that I've identified where I've been called and pushed to do something. There's something in my heart that says, do this thing. I didn't act on it. Maybe I was scared of shame. Maybe I was scared of failure. Maybe I felt like I didn't have time. And I didn't cooperate. I believe I've missed out on some things because of that. I'm guessing that maybe you've missed out on some things because of that kind of thing. I'm committed to not letting that happen as I go forward into the future. Here's the last and amazing part. A promise gives you rest. I love how it says that, faith is recognizing God's promise as an actual fact, believing it is true, rejoicing in the knowledge of that truth, and then simply resting because God said it. Have you ever seen a rested, anxious person? When you worry about things, when you have anxiety about things, when there's a lot of pressure on you, do you rest? Think about that word rest. I have a friend who has his life philosophy is work from rest, not for rest. Working from rest is way more powerful than working for rest. Most of us try and do a bunch of things so that we can rest. The truth is, and the way God has aligned it, is that you actually rest. You work from a place of rest. That's how you create abundance and success. That's a freedom. That's a weight lifted off of you, right? So when you're anxious and worried, you can't rest. That's been the case for me at times. Your mind is always going. You can't sleep. You're just running scenarios in your head. It's no coincidence that when, you know, it's funny. I learned this about a couple of years ago, but like, physiologically, when you rest, certain things happen. When you're in deep sleep, certain things happen. Your muscles grow only in deep sleep. Here's another thing that's interesting. Fat is actually burned in deep sleep. You actually exhale fat. So if you want to slim down, get some deep sleep. But what you notice is when you don't sleep, when you don't sleep deeply, when you aren't rested, you don't have those things. Like I've had four kids, or my wife's had four kids, but I've been alongside of her. And in the early stages where you can't sleep and you can't rest, I notice how my body is more fatigued and how I feel out of shape. It's fascinating how resting is what success is based on. And when you're anxious or worried, you cannot rest and you cannot create success, which means you cannot cooperate and you cannot get the promise. So I just thought this was fascinating and helpful for me, and hopefully it's helpful to you. I've got a question for you today. Are you feeling certain? Are you feeling that there's times of certainty or times of uncertainty? Are you feeling vulnerable? I want to mention to you that certainty is fascinating because it's just an illusion. Certainty is a perspective that we're in. So just like set it to the side, right? Do you have worries about your dreams happening, a business succeeding, maybe a move that you made that you believed was the right thing and you're just not sure? What's funny about it is I've had those situations. And what's fascinating is when you went into that situation at the beginning, you believed that the outcome was going to happen. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it. So you believed in a promise. Why would that have changed? Just because a circumstance or situation has changed. I would submit that it hasn't, right? And the same belief that you had at the beginning is what you should have right now. So hopefully this is helpful for you today. Hopefully it helps you live a more ambitious, more accelerated life. For more information about the BizDevo, you can go to bizdevo.com. That's BIZDEVO.com. You can get them in your inbox. You can get them texted to you. Share this with anyone who owns a business, runs a business, or is an entrepreneur, or is ambitious, or has a lot of desires. Share this with them. That would help them out, hopefully, and help this show out. If you'd like to learn more about me, Kenneth Ott, you can go to kenott.com. That's KENOTT.com. Thanks. And until next time, never stop growing.